Good afternoon. There we go. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, I know our pastors, at least the last week, was preaching out of Matthew 1:21. And normally, when you turn to Matthew chapter 1, that would be the verse you would go to in the text. But while the pastor was preaching, I glanced up here at the genealogy. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Spurgeon ever preached out of the genealogy. And because I have all of the Spurgeon books. So I went home and got that little black book, shows all the sermons that he preached, and got busy and looked, and never preached on the genealogies. So I got to looking at this genealogy, and you know, Christ is throughout all this book. This is the message. Christ is the message of this book. And he is everywhere in this book. He is. We see him in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We see him in Job's day. You know, Job, they say, was the oldest book in the Bible. It is. Most theologians would say that Job lived before Noah. But yet he was in Job's day. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on this earth shall stand. And though the worm destroy this body in my flesh, I shall see my Redeemer. That's what Job said. We see him in Abraham's day, don't we? On the plains of Jordan. We see him as that ram that was caught in a thicket. We see him in Egypt. We see him there as a picture of Joseph opening up those storehouses to those hungry people coming in. Those storehouses that were filled to the brim. Grain that was uncountable. That's what we find in Christ. That's what we find. Righteousness uncountable. Things that are, there's no number to them. And we find that in Christ. And he offers this to sinners. He does. We see him wandering through the wilderness, don't we? See him all through the wilderness. He was that rock that was struck and brought forth water. He was that brazen serpent that was raising up, that was lifted up, and the people looked at it and were healed. We see him all through there. We see him in David's day, don't we? David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. We see him all through the Scriptures. He's all through it. There is not one verse of Scripture in this Bible that will not show us Christ in some way. Because this is the Word of God. And it shows us the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals him to us. That's what this is. And we see this genealogy here. And you wonder why. You know, when I was a kid, I remember looking at the genealogies and people reading it. And you wonder, why is this here? And we look at Matthew here and we see these names written down here. And you wonder, why is this here? Well, it was very important that we see that the Messiah came the way the Scriptures say he would come. It's very important. Not because the Jewish people said it. Not because Isaiah wrote in his prophecy that that's the way it would be. No, but because it is the Word of God that was written. Not because some Jewish person wrote it. Because it is the Word of God. This Scripture is God-breathed. This is the Word of God. And it was written in here that that is the way the Messiah would come. It is. And this is why Matthew writes this genealogy, shows us the path in which through these people that were begotten here, begat by one person to another, it came right down the line to Jesus. We see that here. Look over at, first of all, let's see, let's look at Psalm 132:11. Psalm 132:11. Let me show you in the Scripture here a little bit.
says in Psalm 132:11, it says, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of the body will I set upon thy throne." Okay, so it's talking about how that this Christ will come through David's line here. It talks about in Genesis 12:3. Let's look at where it talks about Abraham, the promise that was given to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 3. And starting with verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." How are all the families of the earth blessed? In one way, that Christ came. Christ came. All right? So we see that Christ is taught in the Scriptures and is shown in the Scriptures how that Christ would come through the line of Abraham, through the line of David. All right. Now, I got to reading this here, and I got to thinking about how to bring a message out of this genealogy. How would you do that? How would you do that? The verse of Scripture that came to mind when I first started reading this Scripture was over there in Romans 3. And the pastor quoted it this morning, but turn over to Romans 3, verse 22 and 23. Romans 3, verses 22 and 23. And this is the scripture that came to mind when I started reading this. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now listen, there is no difference in men. There's none. Okay? Now, I'm going to read some of this genealogy, and you're going to see some of the most different men. I don't know if you could take a group of men and put them together in a paragraph or a chapter, and you could find more different men than these men were. All sorts of different men. But that's not what it's talking about. It isn't. For we find what it's talking about in the next verse. It says in verse 23, "For all have sinned." That's where these men do not differ. All of these men in this verse. It's not how tall they were, how short they were, whether some were learned or some were ignorant. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is they all have sinned, and we're going to see that. We're going to see that when we read it. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All these men. Now let's look at this here. Starting with verse 2. It says, "Abraham begat Isaac." Okay? We start off with the father of the faithful. Abraham. Okay? And he says, "Abraham begat Isaac." Now, I want to first, especially for these kids, I want to give something that you might remember this by. This word begat, we're going to make an acrostic with it. Okay? And the first letter is a B. Now, when Isaac was born into this world, he was. That's how he came into this world. He was born into this world. And he was born, that is the letter B. And the E, he was born enemies. Okay? Enemies. He was born an enemy of God. That's how he was born into this world. All men are born into this world enemies of God. At enmity with God. That's how they're born into this world. Born enemies. And the G would be going. Now, Luther wrote a book, The Bondage of the Will. He did. All men are born in this world going. Okay? They're going. But the problem is they're going against God. They're going away from God. They are. They are bound to go that way because of their sin and their depravity. You take a rock and you drop it. Where is it going to go? It's going to hit the ground, isn't it? Gravity's pulling it. It's an irresistible force and it's pulling it to the ground. It is. And that is when man is born into this world, he is born into sin. He is born in depravity. He is born going in a direction, but it is against God. So we see born enemies going against, that's the A, and the T is truth. Okay? We are all born in this world the same way. We are begat. If you were begat by an earthly father, which everyone that's sitting here today was born of an earthly father. You were. We were begat into this world by a child of Adam. And everyone that is walking on the face of this earth, the same way. And if you were begat into this world, you were a born enemy
going against truth. That's how you came into this world. It is. Now, I want us to remember that when we read through this genealogy. You're going to see many differences in the men in this genealogy. You're going to see some righteous people, and you're going to see some wicked sinners. You're going to see some kings, and you're going to see some beggars. You're going to see all these different people in this genealogy right here. But one thing is the same in all of them. They were begat. They were born enemies going against truth. That's how they came into this world. Look at the first. Abraham, the father of the faithful, begat Isaac. Begat Isaac. You know, I was sitting out this morning on a bench out at Terrence and Miranda's house. And I was jotting a few things down. That's my notes. I'm just jotting them down real quick. Did a lot more listening this weekend than preparing. And I was sitting there on the bench and I was thinking about an illustration for this. And all of a sudden, I hear this little girl screaming. And she's saying, "Daddy, come. The horse has just had her baby and it's laying on the ground. And it's still in the sack and it's dead." And I remember I ran over there and I looked down at this animal. And there it was. It was lifeless. Born dead. But yet there was another one in there. There was another one on its way. And so Terrence and I, we got a rope and we got it on the hoof of it. And we got a hold of it. We were pulling it out of there and we got it out. And we got that, it was on the ground. But yet no movement. Nothing there. And we were pulling the sack off of it and beating on it, trying to get it to live. And for one moment, I said, "If Arminianism could just be true, that horse, do you know what joy you would have running around in this field with your mother? Do you know what joy you would bring to that little girl that's sitting over there on the fence crying? But yet all the beating and all the yelling and all the... I picked that horse up by the leg and shook it. Couldn't bring it back. Couldn't bring it back. And we stand up here in front of men, young children, and we preach the gospel. And we say, you know what joy that you could have in Christ. Do you know what joy you'd bring to your parents if you knew the Lord? But yet, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, that's not going to bring a dead man to life. It takes the power of God. The power of God." What an illustration the Word gave me. That was a powerful thing. We are born enemies going against truth. That's what we are. Unless the power of God comes and arrests us, like the pastor talked about this morning in the message, unless that happens, then we're going to die and go to hell. That's what's going to happen to sinners. It is. But oh, there is hope. There is hope. And I'm going to get to it here in just a minute. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob, that one whose name means deceitful. We got father of the faithful. We got the promised child. Now we got this one whose very name means deceitful. Jacob begat Judas. You know that's Judah. It's interesting the translation here. It's called him Judas. Remember, Judah was the one that stood over that pit. Joseph was down in that pit. He said, "Wait a minute. Let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. Let's make some money off of him." And old Judas Iscariot was the one that was the traitor. Sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, didn't he? It's, I think old Matthew was thinking about that a little bit. Might have when he translated that Judas. And Judas beget Phares and Zerah of Thamar. And Phares beget Esrom, and we won't get into all that. What a mess that was. And Esrom beget Aram. And Aram beget
Aminadab, and Aminadab beget Nathan, and Nathan beget Solomon. And now we're crossing over the Jordan, where we're at right now. We're crossing over the Jordan into the Promised Land, because we see that Solomon beget Boaz of who? Of Rahab. Now we got, oh my, we got a bunch of people now in the mix. We've got the Father of the Faithful. We've got the Promised Child. We've got a man whose very name means deceitful. We've got one who is a traitor. We've got children born in incest. We've got now Solomon marrying this one that was found in the city walls of Jericho, this Rahab the harlot. That's who this is. This is all in the line of Christ. It is. You think that if this wasn't important, you think they would have left this out? No, Jesus came into this world, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He came in this world as a man. He came in this world. The God-man came into this world. This is his line. It is. But we know he didn't have an earthly father. He was born of the Father above. Now, watch. We'll get into that here in a minute. Solomon beget Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz beget Obed of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse. You remember, Ruth was that Moabitess woman, and Obed met her, and they beget Jesse. And Jesse beget David the king. All right? Now we got a king in the bunch. All right? David the king. And David the king begets Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. All right. Now we got adultery into the mix. Now, there's no difference in men. We got all sorts of different men here. We're seeing all sorts. But yet there is no difference. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only hope for sinners is this one we're coming to. This one we're coming to. And Asa begat Josaphat. Josaphat begat Joram. And Joram begat Ozias. Now Ozias was a born enemy going against truth. He was begot. All right. And Ezekias and Ozias begat Jotham. And Jotham begat Achaz. And Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias beget Manasseh, and Manasseh beget Amon, and Amon beget Josias, and Josias beget Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now we see men, so many differences in men, and then coming from all different places. We got some out in the wilderness, we got some in the city of Jerusalem, some born in the palace, some born out in the desert, some born now in captivity in Babylon. But yet there still is no difference. No difference. They are all born enemies going against truth. That's how they're born. That's how they're born. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. And I'm probably not pronouncing these all right, but remember old Scott Richardson, every time he'd come to name he couldn't pronounce, he'd say stovepipe. But I'll try to pronounce them. And so Salathiel beget Zorobabel, and Zorobabel beget Abiad, and Abiad beget Lichem, and Lichem beget Azor, and Azor beget Sadok, and Sadok beget Akim, and Akim beget Eliad, and Eliad beget Eleazar, and Eleazar beget Mathan, and Mathan beget Jacob, and Jacob, listen to this, and Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary. Listen to what it says. Of whom was born Jesus. Born salvation. You remember old Simeon and Anna there in the temple? Remember that? Old Simeon, the Lord told me, you're not going to die until you see my salvation. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And old Simeon took that little one in his hand when Mary brought him in. He held him up in the air. He said, behold, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. He was born salvation. Born salvation. Born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Listen. If we are begat into this world, which everyone is, born enemies going against truth, that's how we're brought into this world. Every child of Adam is brought into this world that way. We must be born again. You must be born. Remember Nicodemus? Remember that? We talked about him this morning. Nicodemus asked, he said, what is this being born again? Must I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? No, No, if you do that, you're still begat. If you enter into your mother's womb born again, you're still begat. You're still a born enemy going against truth. That's not going to do it. You must be born again. You must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a gift of God. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are saved by this gift of faith. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You say, well, what is being born again? What is being born again? This little bit of time we're going to take here, I'm going to try to explain this born again a little bit, but I'm going to use another acrostic. I'm going to use this word born, okay? And this is what we're going to see. If we are going to be born again, what it means to be born again is to come into this world through the power of God, and we are being born just like Christ was born. All right? How was Christ born? Well, he was not begat by an earthly father. He wasn't. He was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, was he not? He was. And he was born in this world with beauty. That's how he's born. Oh, what do we have? What are we born in this world with? Oh, I know some have more outward beauty than others. All right? But we're all born ugly in the sight of God. We all are. Ugliness. Deformity. Wickedness, depravity, scars of sin. That's how we're born in this world. All right? But Jesus Christ was born in this world beautiful. Beautiful. The lily of the valley, right? The rose of Sharon. The fairest among 10,000. That's how he was born in this world. Oh, how beautiful is he? Very beautiful. Psalm 27, verse 1. Look at this. Turn over there. I'm going to take you to a few verses here. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The beauty of the Lord. Oh, He is altogether the beautiful one. He's beautiful. And if we are to stand before God in His holiness and His majesty, if we're going to stand before Him, we must possess this beauty. We must. And the only way we're going to possess it is if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ by the new birth, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to stand in His sight beautiful. It is. We must possess the beauty of Christ. Oh, He is the altogether beautiful one. David talked about worshiping in the beauty of holiness, didn't he? Well, who is that? That's worshiping in Christ. It is. He is the beauty of holiness. If we are to have holiness in our life, the only way we're going to have that is to be in Christ. And for Him to see, for God to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's it. Christ in us. That's beautiful. It is. And if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we stand that word born and born again. If we are born again, we are beautiful in His sight if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the O. We receive a oneness with God. A oneness with God. Jesus Christ said in John 10, He said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. This being born again means we are placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we stand before God in His presence with a oneness. With a oneness. Turn over to, if I can read my writing. Romans 5 verse
5:11. Romans 5:11. Romans 5, verse 11, it says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I remember Brother Wayne here, what he said atonement means. It means at one man, doesn't it? At one man. That's what we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ, this new birth. To be born again means we're beautiful in His sight and we are at one with God. We are because we are in Christ. We stand in Christ, and Christ is at one with God. He is. For I and my Father are one, and we are in Him. That's this new birth we're talking about. That's why Nicodemus couldn't just enter into his mother's womb and be born again. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the new birth. We're talking about being born again, having a beauty that is not our own, being at one with God. The R. What is that? Well, righteousness. We receive a righteousness that is not ours. Christ is perfect. He came into this world perfect, holy, righteous. That's how He came into this world. He lived a perfect, spotless, holy life. He did. Everything that the Father demanded of Him, He accomplished it. Every jot and tittle of the law was kept. You know what a jot and tittle is? It's every in the Greek language, every little jot and every tittle. Tittle is every little dot and I. There's so many of them. In Hebrew, it would be every little tiny speck. Parentheses, quotation marks, all kinds of those. That's what a jot and tittle is. Just all them little things. He kept all of it. Every single solitary bit. Not one place did He fall short. And what the new birth is, when we are born again, we receive that righteousness. That righteousness is imparted to us. It is. We receive it. And our sins are taken from us. That's why we are beautiful. Our sins were put upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He took them to the cross of Calvary with Him. And He died on the cross of Calvary. And He was put into the grave. And our sins, the sins of His people, were taken into the grave and placed there with Him. And when He came up out of that grave, we came with Him, didn't we? We came with Him, and we rose up out of that grave, and we stand beautiful. We stand at one with God, and we stand righteous in His sight. That's how we stand, if we're in Christ. That's this new birth we're talking about. That's being born again, being born again. And it doesn't happen by just making a decision. Like I said this morning, I wish that horse could have made a decision. Just get up. You know how much you want to. Isn't that what the world's saying? I know how much you want to believe. Just do it. No. That horse's eyes were wide open. It was. No life. No life. Oh, that the Spirit of God would come and would speak life, would bring the breath of life to these that do not know Him. Oh, that He might do that. Well, the last thing here is this. Not only are we beautiful in His sight, not only do we have a one-ment with Him, we come and make an atonement for sinners. Not only do we possess a righteousness that is not our own, we possess that in the Lord Jesus Christ. But turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the end. And I thought of this driving down a road in the truck. The other day, this verse just came to my mind. The end. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. We're not only beautiful in His sight. We not only have a oneness with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in this new birth. Being born again. We not only have a righteousness that is not our own, but we stand before God under no condemnation. There's no condemnation that could fall upon me if I'm in Christ. Not anything. Not anything can be charged to God's elect.
Not one jot or tittle of the law can be put upon a child of God. None. Why? Because Christ took all of that to the cross of Calvary with Him. All of my sin was taken to the cross of Calvary with Him. If He left any of it out, I'm a goner. Not one thing was left behind. Not one. For His people. And He accomplished every single solitary thing that my worthless frame should have accomplished on this earth. He accomplished it all. Every single bit of it. And now I stand. Beautiful in His sight. And all this earthly frame is just dying. Getting more gray hair all the time. And one day I'll be laying in the coffin. Will be. It's where we're all going. It is. But yet I stand beautiful in His sight. Beautiful. At one with God. With what? Do you understand the wonder in that? At one with God. In Christ, we're at one with Him. We are. Oh, righteous in His sight. And we stand with no condemnation. What's that song say? No condemnation, now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head. Clothed in righteousness divine. Bold, I approach the eternal throne. If we didn't have Christ, we'd be crawling. Fear of God, the wrath of God is going to be laid upon us. But yet now, in Christ, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ, my own. That's how we're going to come forth. That's what being born again means to me. It is. All right.